Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope.
It's the only show that benefits mankind.
I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope,
we take a look back at 2007, Al stops by to fill us in on all the music we missed, and Jared tries in vain to not get phlegm all over his show notes.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Welcome all to episode 42 of the best fake podcast in the world.
It's a real podcast.
It's a real podcast, half a fake radio show. We've got a packed house here tonight. The usual guests, our usual hosts are here, Adam, Jared, and myself. We've also got two of my other favorite people in the world, and I'm not talking about the cast of High School Musical, but it would be very good. I would probably take them over these two guys.
Wow.
As Jared teased in the beginning of the show, Al is back in the studio after the longest hiatus. I think he probably thought that we never wanted him back, but...
Well, you let me host the show once, and...
And that was it.
Haven't heard from you.
Was it March?
Well, it'd be April 1st.
Yeah.
April 1st, our big prank.
So I probably haven't seen Adam in a few months before
that. Yeah, missed you big time.
What did you miss most?
About Adam.
About Adam.
Just the sarcasm.
Oh, that's Adam. we get it every
show.
You
know, if you're a regular listener, you can get that sarcasm twice a month.
Our fifth in-studio guest is a good friend of mine. I don't really know what to say to him except, hello, Aaron. His name is... He's in from Iowa. It is Christmas time. He's here visiting his parents. And can I call you the professor? Can I call you doctor? He works at... is it University of Iowa? Or Iowa State?
It's Iowa State.
Iowa State. Yeah. What are you doing? What atoms are you smashing down there? What kind of research
things are happening? I'm in the Department of Chemical and...
Oh, chemicals. Yeah. Oh, there we go. Yeah. So, I wanted to ask you this. Now, every time I talk to you, you never give me a straight answer, so I'm going to get right to the point. You're a fairly decent-looking fellow. I mean, I'm sure that all of those hot young students down there are probably writing messages on their eyelids, a la Indiana Jones. Have any girls... been a little too fresh with you down in Iowa? I mean, you are a big city guy too. I mean,
no, that's never happened.
Never happened.
Keep in mind, no one listens to this. So
no one ever
stories to tell. You could.
My answer remains unchanged.
Okay. I don't believe it for one second, but that's the way it goes. So we are here with our Scope 2007 year in review, but we've got some issues to cover right away.
Issues
before we get to
is
that.
Some sort of debate.
Is it? It is a debate, and we're going to be talking football immediately.
We are.
There we go. All of the regular listeners of the program know that Adam supports the Washington Redskins. He's from that neck of the woods.
Yes.
And everybody else, all the real football fans, have always supported the Minnesota Vikings.
Always, through thick and thin.
And year after year, both the Vikings and the Redskins have played. I think the last 3 years they've played, haven't they?
I think it's three of the last 4 years.
And guess what? Every time they've played, it's practically meant nothing.
Well, last year it was the first game of the season, but in the end it meant nothing.
So we've never had high hopes. But this Sunday night, so actually the game will have already played once we post this, Vikings and the Redskins are going to be locked in a battle that really will define the NFC playoff picture.
Yes.
Or at least the wild card. Adam,
yes.
You've got opinions. Give us some. Redskins, will they prevail?
My only opinion is that if you root against the Redskins, you're rooting against a dead player. And that makes you a terrible person.
You're already playing that card, aren't you?
He's got a number 21 tattooed on his shoulder.
I do.
Are they playing with 10 guys on defense again this week, or are they going to play with 11?
I would take that.
They might want to try to sneak 12 on the
field. The last two games, they've played the first play of the game on defense with only 10 players. So we'll see if they do that.
Well, that would be a great way for Adrian Peterson to...
You be know. A dick? Yeah.
And that'd just
be
a crush great them.
Be a dick.
Aaron, you're known in many circles as the sporting expert. you must have an opinion on this game. Watching closely, what else are you going to do in Iowa?
Well, I think since the Vikings are kind of surging, they're for sure going to fall apart. There's really no way they're going to win this game.
Now, I get the impression that a lot of Iowans are actually Chicago Bears fans. Is that true?
Yes, that is true. That's very true.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Especially since they've been pretty good the last few years, although this year they've been pretty bad.
Are they sad that the Bears pretty much have tanked, going from a Super Bowl contender to a team that is playing probably how they should be with one of the worst quarterbacking crews in all of football?
I think there's a lot of anger there, yeah. But really, it's amazing they've done as well as they have previously, I think.
Are you surprised that even with all the injury-riddled defense, that the defense has declined as much this year compared to other years?
It's very surprising. Yeah, their defense has just been terrible this year.
And on a scale of 1 to 10, how big of a dick is Brian Urlacher?
Probably about an 8.5.
I bet you he hits women.
Most overrated player in football.
Yeah, just because he shaves his head and he's a big,
except he shows up on Monday night.
He does. He taught us a lesson or two.
Yeah.
Adrian Peterson can't pick up a block, and I blame Matt Burke on a couple of those stuffs. Thank you. Against popular opinion. So, Aaron predicts Vikings will lose. Adam, your prediction?
I predicted the Redskins to win, and
you're sticking with it. Yeah. Al, you're another sporting expert. You pay attention to all of the statistics.
Vikings 27-13.
What statistic shall we look for? What is going to be the key thing to the game that the Vikings need to do to win this?
Just run the ball.
Run the ball.
Just run the ball.
Enough complaining about teams stacking the line, and just run the ball correctly.
Just do it.
Jared, you also have opinions?
Yeah, I think the Vikings will win, but it's going to be close. It's going to be 3 or less.
You know, back when the Redskins actually had all their personnel alive, they had a top 5 run defense. So running against
them. You're always going back to this death thing. That's highly classy of you.
I feel bad to do that.
Well, I think the one opinion that matters most is mine, and as you all know, I'm never pro Vikings. I'm always expecting them to lose, just like Aaron, and I think that they probably will lose and not make the playoffs.
For what it's worth, these are the exact same two teams on both sides.
Very fatalistic.
They're both terrible, but thank God they're both in the NFC, where a terrible team can potentially make the playoffs.
Well, there we go. I don't know if the Vikings are terrible, and I don't buy this whole strength of schedule business that a lot of the critics hammer them on, but I just think that looking at what they did in the second half of the 49ers game, looking at what they did in the first half of the Bears game, you can see a team that can be immediately shut down and not do anything. And I worry that they could end up jumping back into that that mindset and that type of play at any second.
If the Cleveland Browns were in the NFC, they would be the number one team. So
wow.
I doubt that.
I don't think they're very good. I think that they would beat the Cowboys.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Their defense is terrible, though.
Yeah. Cowboys are pretty overrated, too, though.
All right.
Well, what about the Packers? Beat them. Packers can't stop them, let's be honest.
The Redskins almost beat the Packers. Redskins should have beat the Packers.
I think the only important, really important football event that's happening this weekend, though, is that I am in my fantasy football Super Bowl. Wow. Are you going to talk about that at all, Shane?
Yes, we are going to talk about that. Actually, Al is also in his Super Bowl, so you two can wax poetic about how you're doing.
Which one of you has Adrian Peterson? I guess you're in different leagues, but one of you definitely has.
I don't.
Nope.
Wow.
Half of my roster I didn't even draft. It was, you know, you had to wait for to see who would surprise people.
Do you play in a league where like half the people don't pay attention after week 4?
Just had I had one team that didn't pay attention, and of course in an effort to remain fair to everyone, as he says, and he's going to hear this cuz he listens to the show. He did not change his lineup for many, many weeks, and then did not change it against me. But, of course, his team had a monster week against me. It was the week Jamal Lewis had, like, 4 touchdowns, and I lost. Let's say that. I lost. So one of his victories came against me in a week where he supposedly was being fair. But it doesn't matter because I'm in the Super Bowl, so there you go.
So suck it. What about you, Al?
Well, I was telling them before, I'm 6th year in this league, and I'm the last player to finally win money in the league, so I'm due.
Yeah,
you are due.
Yeah,
and considering all you do is sports, I mean, you roll dice to play fantasy baseball. You play baseball dice games. You should probably be rolling in the dough.
Well, I'm competing against 7 other dice rollers and fantasy geeks. So.
How far are you into that 1987 playing every single dice baseball game?
I'm on April. No, I'm sorry, May 13th. So about a month and a half. Of 6 months.
And how are the Twins doing? As good as they did in the year of 87?
No.
No. So they probably will not make the World Series.
The dice doesn't know team chemistry, I guess.
Oh. Can't account for Homer Hankins.
No.
Well, we'll be sure to give everyone updates as to how Al and Jared do on the Super Bowl of fantasy football.
I have to ask, are any of your dice getting an endorsement deal with McDonald's a la Kirby Puckett and the Puck Pack?
No.
Big chocolate shake, 18 slabs of meat.
Two kinds of cheeses.
Yeah. So we've covered football. Let's talk.
Wait, I have the terrible story of how I should be going to the game tomorrow night.
Oh, that's right. Oh. I have it in my notes. Big fan of the Redskins.
Yeah.
You could have went to this game. Yeah. Why are you not going?
So on Monday, my good friend Nick sends me a text message asking if I'm interested in going to the Skins-Vikings game. This is just a day or... No, I guess it's a week after it was moved from the noon game. It was originally supposed to be a noon game, and since it's
the NFC game of the week, saying.
NFL flex scheduling.
Right. They can move games in the last 3 weeks, I think, to primetime. So they moved it, and I'm driving up to Fargo that day at 5 o'clock.
Sounds like fun.
So, yeah, I just was trying to work every way possible to be able to postpone driving up there, and it wouldn't work. And the real kicker is that the tickets were going to be free. So.
It's going to be tight, y'all. Yeah.
First sound effect, nice.
Yeah. So everyone should feel bad for me.
Yeah.
And maybe send me tickets to next year's game, because apparently they'll play again, because they just always play.
Because they do. Yeah. That's the way it works. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Adam. Sorry. Not as good a story as I thought it was going to be.
Oh, wow. thanks, Dick.
You're Glenn.
Scope World Series of Pop Culture. We wrapped it up last week. Adam, Jared, were you happy with the results?
Yeah, I think so. I like having a new champion.
Yes.
Oh, yep. There's a spoiler there if anyone hasn't listened.
Our previous champion team, Al, was on that team last year. They collapsed in the last round.
Probably because
really.
Al was not here.
I was going to say I'm still a champion until I get beat. So.
This is true. Al's still a champion.
Now, will you come back and try again in the next?
Technically, you were beat each round, I believe, last year.
Did you win a round last year?
I think I won rounds last year.
Oh, okay.
I don't think I had to play one time even.
Yeah, that's true. I believe the championship round you didn't have to play.
Well, I love Gary.
But I could have that round.
But I feel this year that Gary did not bring his A game on your former team, or maybe you'll rejoin them next year. I don't know.
I'm a free agent. No,
you could join anywhere.
he's looking for a big payday.
Aaron, you didn't get to be involved. Would you be involved next time?
Absolutely.
I think Aaron could do quite well. If you want to know the truth,
really,
I do.
Well, thank you.
If I could remember some of the questions, I'd quiz you right now. But since the show's going to be 4 hours long anyway,
we do know that the answer was never pussy control.
Never pussy control.
Unfortunately,
yeah.
Next year, I think we should have an entire category where every answer is pussy control.
That'd be very clever.
That would be very good. So the last thing I want to talk about is the holidays. Last year we had a Christmas show, and because we don't call it a holiday show, we had a Christmas show because we almost all celebrate Christmas, even Adam. But
taking part in the war on Christmas this year, though.
Really? What does that mean exactly?
I don't know. Bill O'Reilly always talks about it, so.
That guy's against everything.
SPs.
So Aaron, let me ask you this question. We talked extensively about our Christmas last year. You're the new guy in town. How do Christmases go in your family? Is it a time when everybody gets together and is happy to see each other, or do you have that underlying current of stress and anxiety because maybe somebody's not getting along with somebody else? And do you go big family, or is it just your immediates, like your parents and your sister? And
we used to go big family, but for various reasons, which I'll kind of leave a mystery, we don't really get together with everybody anymore.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Are you involved in making people angry on those?
Indirectly. Yeah, I think just by being there and being content, I think, is enough.
Just being content completely ruins a Christmas. So now you just get together with mom and dad and the rest of the family?
My sister, yeah, and that's about it.
And everybody gets along well? There's no stress?
No, we don't get along well, but you know. That's the way it is.
So do you like coming up here for Christmas? Is it fun to get away from whatever state you happen to be living in? Or would you be perfectly content staying in Iowa?
You know, it's good to come back.
Yeah?
Yeah, you know, see some people here. So that's always nice.
Like me, for instance.
Well, like other people, too.
But me especially.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
It's fun being a host, isn't it, Shane?
It really is. I'm getting hammered here. And I'm not really liking it. Well, this year, I think that I'll be hanging out with Al once again for the post-Christmas party. And Jared might even be joining us on that one. So,
very possible.
Anything to look forward to, Al?
You know, with our family, it's the same thing every year.
It is.
Doing the same thing.
That? Getting wasted?
Some of that, maybe, yeah.
That's a good sound effect, Jared. I don't think I've ever heard that one before.
It's the bottle opening and then the bottle pouring.
Is that what you're going to be doing when you... meet up with this family, a group of people you've never seen before in your life.
Yeah, probably.
How the hell is New Year's at
that? It'll be a good time. Yes, yeah. And New Year's Eve, we little programming note, I think we're going to do another special scope. Slow it down.
I can't wait to party.
We'll be doing another scope New Year's Eve spectacular last year. Very successful. A lot of drinking. Adam may not be there. Is that the case, Adam?
I don't think I'm going to make it. No.
So you're going out to eat with your friends, but is there a party after that that you're going to?
I don't know. I think that...
I know there isn't one planned, by the way, right now.
What?
I said I don't think there's one planned right now from what my sources are telling me.
From Molly?
Yeah.
Yeah, as far as I know, we're going to go out to dinner and then figure it out. I know that Mandy works at like 6 a.m. the next day.
So ooh.
I think we're going to try to do something, you know, but... I don't know. That's why I said if nothing happens, I'll just probably wind up coming here.
Well, we'll miss you.
I like how we're the fallback. That's nice. Mm-hmm.
We are the...
You guys were the first pick last year.
I know. That's fine. I just like to...
I mean, you weren't the first pick last year, now that I think about it. You were the fallback last year.
That's fine.
It's good to see
we had weather last year. It was snowing. I still made it. Pretty roughly.
And then Earl drank all of Mandy's vodka. So
what a jerk.
Why would I show up again?
Vodka in a can, apparently. Aaron, you'll be here, correct?
Sure. Yeah, I'll be here.
And Al, possibly, but we're not sure.
It's up to the boss.
Up to the boss, and that would be his wife who runs the show.
Yes.
All right, Jared, you'll be here as well. I'm excited.
Pretty sure.
And it's going to be a good time. So let's wrap this up because we've probably got about 4 hours of show after this opening segment.
We do.
It's the Scope Year in Review. All the music, Al, the music expert, stops by as well, and he's here talking. And we'll be covering all of our pop culture favorites over the past 365 days and giving it our personal spin on it. We'll also do a little news, and coming soon, it's two of the three prongs of the Under the Scope segment. No reviews, because not really that much stuff has come out. And, you know, we'll just kick it and have a good time. Episode 42. Let's continue it, Jared. Push some buttons.
Okay.
Hi. I really, really, really would like for you to come over and take off this stupid, firewall so that I can start seeing the pictures that come in on my email. You know, like, I can't even go in and look at my coupon that I could get from Foot Locker, and it's like 30 plus 10, and I can't even look at it, and it won't even let me go there. So how am I supposed to get any of my Christmas shopping done if I can't go in and view things? And then I owe... I'm supposed to buy her an SD630 because, of course, it became missing when I was there and I touched it last and everything. But I can't even shop for one of those when I'm blocked out of everything. Would you please come over here and take all that off my computer so I can get my stuff done? I appreciate it. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart.
Oh, yes. Once again, it is the year in review coming from your favorite podcast. It's The Scope. It's world famous, highly unorthodox, and always very exciting. This is how it works. We've got a number of categories, probably categories you wouldn't find in other year in reviews.
That makes us special.
Absolutely. We've got nominees, and we've got winners, and we've got a lot to talk about. Jared, just a quick recap, that call was a tech support call from last year?
Yeah, it was. It was an actual call, and I just thought I'd replay that because it's one of those rare moments you capture.
Oh, mom.
I thought it was Jenna Fisher or some.
No, that was a real one at work.
Really? Oh.
Absolutely crazy. So we've got 9 categories. Let's get to it. Category number 1, 2000 Year in Review, kicks off with the biggest celebrity mess, and there's been a lot of them this year. And I had to update this one within minutes of the show just because of the Britney Spears family tragedy that's going on over there. Pretty much everybody's a mess in the Spears family. That would be nominee number 1. Nominee number 2 would be Amy Winehouse, or as the hipsters are calling her, Amy Wino.
Very clever. Very, very,
very clever. Paris Hilton, you know.
Who's calling her that? And how can I beat them up?
TMZ. That's okay. What I'm going to say. And then we've got Lindsay Lohan.
Old news.
So let's select our winner. any Spears family member. I think that one's obvious. We've got shaved heads. We've got women driving with children unstrapped, not strapped into their car seat, on their fronts, on their lap in the front seat. I don't really know what to say about these people except
MTV VMA awards performances. Yeah. You know.
I can't stand it.
Yikes.
Jamie Lynn lost her book deal.
What's
who did?
Jamie Lynn lost her book
deal. Oh, you mean Lynn. Lynn Spears.
The mom.
No. The mom.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought the
The mom had a parenting book that was supposed to be.
Yeah, remember that? She was doing press for that. I guess she was on Oprah, and Oprah was just raving about how great Lynn Spears was. You know, it's very strange that even before Jamie Lynn's tragedy, because that's what I'm going to call it, that the mother would even have any sort of gumption to go out and talk about how great of a parent she was when her daughter is an absolute mess. And I think that even the younger one was cussing out photographers and
Hollywood,
the paparazzi even before that.
She raised those kids good.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Is that a bad sign for Obama then? That Oprah is backing Obama and backing Lynn Spears?
I think that Hillary might be able to use that to her advantage come the primaries in Iowa. By the way, in Iowa, are you all jazzed up about that, Aaron? Living in Iowa about the political?
I am not jazzed, no.
I mean, how many people enthused? There really care about it? I mean,
well, a lot of people care.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people have a clue of who to vote for, though.
Sure.
Are you burnt out getting hammered from?
Are you one of those people where they are after you all the time? You're getting calls?
Yeah, I get calls. I get multiple calls per day. I get things on my door. I get, you know, all sorts of stuff.
You're in the sweet spot, man. I mean, you're a professor. You're very smart. You are mixing chemicals in your job. You've got college girls after you. You're well educated. I mean, you're probably the target audience for it.
This is the life.
In the middle of a cornfield.
Yeah, there's nothing around me.
The hog farm.
Aside from that, it's great.
It's a good life. Okay, so Britney Spears, I think we can all agree, biggest mess of the year. Although I'm a little sad about Amy Winehouse, just because I think the gal's got a lot of talent, but I think that she might be a one-hit wonder here in America.
You think so?
I think so.
All right.
I really do. She could be.
Well, she'll have company then.
Yes, absolutely. But, you know, in Europe, they're the biggest enablers, and she will be famous there for many years.
All right. Just to go a different direction, because that's what I thought we were doing.
Go ahead. What direction do you think we were going?
We were going to name our own.
Oh, okay. No.
Well, I'm going to name my own, because while your pick is responsible for probably the downfall of society in years... Michael Vick was responsible for the death of, like, you know, hundreds of dogs on some level.
How did you not include Michael Vick on that list, by the way?
Because I wanted to. Because
you hate dogs.
Biggest female celebrity mess. That's what I said. Female celebrity mess.
You just hate women and dogs, I guess, because they're all women on your list.
The reason I didn't include Michael Vick is because when I sent out the email to get people's picks and categories for this, Adam never sent back to me. So that's what happened.
Well, fair enough. I have the ignore Shane filter turned on.
Apparently so. So you're picking Michael Vick.
Right into spam.
I think he's probably the biggest tragic figure.
Tragic?
His murdering ways. I mean, I feel bad for him.
I wouldn't call him tragic.
Well, him, but how about...
That implies he's some sort of victim and not the author of his own fate.
I support him. A free Michael Vick. Free him. What do you think is on under my t-shirt?
Wait till news. Yeah.
Number seven.
Big number seven
being,
tattoo.
Being eaten by a dog or something? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, that Michael Vick thing is pretty disgusting and... I think he got what he deserved.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Maybe even more he should have gotten. Will he come back to the NFL, Adam?
I don't know. What's his name? The old cowboy quarterback.
Danny
Carter.
White?
Aikman?
Carter.
Quincy
Carter.
Roger Staubach.
Quincy Carter is rumored to come back every year from his coke conviction thing. So, I don't know.
Ricky but he wasn't
Ricky
really
Williams
any good.
He wasn't killing coke dealers.
A million
was
times.
Ricky Williams came back and then was injured.
But I'm just saying, Michael Vick has... five times more talent than Ricky Williams.
But there's a big difference between a personal drug habit and killing dogs, don't you think? From a public perception standpoint?
I think so.
Not from a teammate perspective, apparently.
No, they're very supportive.
And Vick will come back because there's lots of great quarterbacks out there in the NFL right now.
Ugh.
Some have speculated he'll come back, but not as a quarterback.
Well, he was like a running quarterback to begin with the last couple of years.
So. Quarterback loosely.
Akili Smith.
Rock on. Ryan Leaf.
Ugh. Let's move on to the next category.
Tim Couch. Oh.
Last year, we hammered Sony. This year, we're going after Nintendo. The biggest Wii snafu. Wii being the most popular item this Christmas. People standing in lines for hours to get it.
Quick poll. Who knows what snafu stands for?
I don't know. What does it stand for?
I know. I'm asking other people.
Anyone?
I didn't know it was...
Professor?
It fucked up as the last two words.
Dates from World War II. It's situation normal, all fucked up.
Right.
I did not know that.
Those of you who watched The War by Ken Burns would know that.
Like, it's like FUBAR.
It's on my TV.
Yeah. One. Exactly.
Or FUPA.
We've got three nominees, and maybe Adam has more. We'll find out. Number one, limited third-party support. Wii is very popular, but there's about four good games out for it. Number two, the Manhunt 2 debacle. You know, the game where you can simulate hitting people over the head with a bat and an axe and an ice pick and pretty much simulating murder. And the third would be the lack of product available during Christmas. Again, this is the second year running. And the winner is...
It's your favorite.
I love it. Lack of product. You can't get a Wii. Although, it's interesting. If you would have went out in September or October, you could have found one at will. But once everybody started...
I don't know about at will, but I think with a little bit of effort.
Yeah.
Certainly, it certainly was easier than it is now.
Yeah, it's very, very difficult. My opinion on it, although Nintendo denies this, I think that they, number one, are happy that people can't find them, even if they are losing money. And there's a little cynical part of me that says they're doing it on purpose. Adam, what do you think?
I think you're wrong.
Of course.
I think that some of the press has indicated that they certainly could spend the money to gear up and meet demand, but then there's an inherent risk of what if there's a downturn in sales and now they're sitting there with all of this investment in manufacturing and excess product. And I think they're very happy to have this demand outstripping supply.
They're the most risk averse of the three, so it makes sense.
They're making money on every one, so... Right. Yeah.
Al, Aaron, any opinions on this, or do you not care because you have better things to do?
I think it's intentional. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Definitely intentional.
And he's the smartest guy in the room, Adam.
I have a Wii, actually, and it's fun, but you're right. I mean, there's not a lot of games for it that are really exciting, and it's actually sometimes once you play through the sports thing, it gets a little boring.
So. I think that you can pick up a decent game once every 3 months or so. And be perfectly happy with the system. That's what I think.
Embarrassing that in the holiday season, you know, like from beginning of November to now, there's been like one AAA title,
mm-hmm.
Galaxy, and like, I mean, I guess Rock or Guitar Hero, but
yeah, but that's your third party support. Yeah. So I think that it's interesting if you look at the other output of, I guess at least for the 360, I can't really speak for the PlayStation 3 because I don't have a lot of great games, but I could name 10 games that I would want for the 360. Mm-hmm. And
that came out in the last like 2 months.
They came out in the last 2 months that are compelling, fun games to play. Nintendo, like you said, Mario Galaxy. And you know...
No, it's okay. You can play Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo. So you can download that for $5.
Very nice. And the thing about Nintendo is I think they're struggling with, they had this really, really strong Wii Sports game, but they haven't follow that up with another party game that everybody's excited to play and has the staying power that Wii Sports did. I mean, I'm surprised they didn't have like a Wii Sports 2.
Oh, sure.
This Christmas.
Take one of the sports and expand on it.
Exactly. I mean, bowling is about as fun as you can get out there. And
they could have had a million mini games for that.
And
tennis. Have mini games for tennis also.
Yeah, a real good tennis game would have been a lot of fun, but didn't happen. So I think this year we'll be playing Wii Sports during Christmas again, Al.
It's all right with me.
Get ready for it. Adam, what about your list for Wii Snafu?
No, nothing? I didn't have anything different on that one.
Okay.
Thank you for checking.
Let's move on to category number three. Best movie some of us haven't seen yet. So it's a little bit of fortune telling, a little bit of speculation. The three nominees are Atonement, No Country for Old Men, and Into the Wild. And the winner is... No Country for Old Men. Probably the movie that will win Best Picture. Anyone disagree with me on that?
I think a lot of people are saying There Will Be Blood.
There Will Be Blood.
Has a good chance to.
This is the Tommy Lee Jones movie. Jared, you saw this, correct?
I did see it.
So tell us a little bit about it.
what do you want to know? Plot?
Give me the basic,
essentially,
plot.
I forget the character names, but... Josh Brolin happens upon a scene in the desert, Texas desert, where there's a bunch of dead people. Apparently, it's a drug deal gone wrong, and he finds a bunch of money and decides he's going to take off the money, and then that kind of sets this whole thing in motion where there's people who are after him for the money, and then there's Tommy Lee Jones as a cop who's trying to follow the whole thing and figure out what happened with the crime and what's going to happen next. And so that's kind of ends up becoming like a three-part chase where Josh Brolin's character is running, and then the people who want the money are chasing him, and there's a couple different elements to that, and then the cops are chasing them. So
was Tommy Lee Jones checking every hen house, outhouse?
No, he was actually very subdued. He's kind of he's playing like an older cop who's kind of right on the verge of retirement. And
one last case, a grizzled old guy.
Not quite like that, but yeah, I guess so.
The only thing I've heard negative about the movie is it's kind of abruptly ended.
You know what? It does, but for me, it works. I understood what the point of the film was, so the ending was perfectly fitting.
Did it end with a Journey song?
Did not end with a Journey song. No.
Have any of you guys R.L. Speedwagon read any other Cormac McCarthy novels?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, he is.
I've read any of them. So
okay. He had the big hit, the Oprah Book Club selection this year about the nuclear holocaust. What the hell was the name of that?
The Road.
The Road. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very grim book.
Yeah.
Which I think Tom Hanks is going to be starring in that one, that movie when it comes out.
I didn't know that they were making that.
Aaron, did you see No Country for Old Men?
I have not, but I'd like to. Sounds good.
You are looking at your Facebook. You also love The Notebook. Is that true?
That's right. I do.
Wow.
He's more
pulling no punches.
I openly
of a
wept.
Ryan Gosling fan than anything.
Do
else.
You get to see nakedness in that movie? Boobs. I thought you got to see her boobs in that.
Maybe. I don't remember.
If you do, I will definitely be into that.
Might
one.
Be a butt shot.
Another interesting thing from No Country for Old Men is you get to see Kelly MacDonald. Some of you might remember her from Trainspotting, playing an American with a Texas accent. So that was
cool. Oh, I liked her in Trainspotting.
Yeah.
Hot stuff right there. Al, you have not seen this movie?
Nope.
Will you?
Maybe video.
Maybe video. Adam, you must have a list of movies because you are contrary to most people.
No, that's the one that I want to see the most. I mean, I want to see all of them.
Just killing the flow, bro.
Wow.
Let's move on to the next category, Jared. Best example of TV show dropping the ball. So these are shows that maybe were strong in 2006, not so strong in 2007.
Hey, Shane, just ahead of time, I'll let you know I have a different one.
Okay, thank you very much. No. I've got three.
Yep.
Number one, My Name is Earl. Number two, Scrubs. Number three, Heroes Season 2.
Do you find it interesting that they're all NBC shows?
Yes, and I would have put a fourth NBC show in there, but I was not allowed by my wife. I'll get into that in a minute. The winner is Hero Season 2. I think critics and fans alike felt that this show really didn't find a voice. Last year, there was a great urgency in every single episode, up until the end where I thought the season finale was watered down and pretty much consisted of them... The main hero standing around the bad guy and hitting him with a parking meter. That's what happened. There was no super explosions or anything like that, really that exciting. No giant battles, just a parking meter to the face. Hero Season 2 started off very slow. They introduced a number of new characters that weren't all that compelling, weren't all that interesting, and meandered up until about the last two episodes and wrapped it up in...
I'd say the last three or four.
Really. Okay, last three or four. But
some people,
most of November was good.
Some people blame the really bad time-traveling plotline in that for Journeyman's failures. I don't agree with that. It doesn't make any sense. But
you mean the hero?
Yeah.
One of the most popular characters was not even involved in most of the main... the other main heroes. He was just off doing his own thing. And
the
time travel
thing served a purpose, but it just went on way too long.
Yeah, I think they could have done it in half the time. Aaron, Al, do you watch Heroes?
Nope.
Okay, well, they're out of this.
But your other choice is that... I'm not a huge Earl fan, but I don't think it's any worse than it was last year.
It's never
year.
Been that good. Was what
I mean, I don't think it's dropped.
Kind of agree, you know.
Too far.
And I've liked parts
I've
of
liked,
this season.
I've liked this season better than last season.
Do you?
Scrubs.
You know, I might agree with that, Al.
Scrubs has been bad, so I get where you're going with
that. Yeah, Scrubs has been bad for about 2 years, but, you know, I don't really know that any other shows that really have dropped the ball necessarily, but...
Scrubs has moments of goodness, but, yeah, overall it's... What do you do with them? I mean, the whole purpose was their journey from, you know, the beginning to the end, and now they're all grown up and they're full-fledged doctors, and it's like, well, okay.
The show lost everything for me when they went with the whole JD having a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, it seemed way out of character. And
now they just kind of talk about it but don't actually go into it. It's like, okay.
So Adam, what do you want to say something?
Oh, I was just going to say, I know what you're going to talk about with your wife coming up.
Yeah,
we'll get there, though.
We'll get into that, but go ahead, Adam. What is your selection?
Mine, I kind of went a different way with it. I was like focusing on one particular aspect, so I picked The Daily Show, and it was Jon Stewart's unwillingness to take on any of the Republicans that were guests on his show. He kind of like just danced around them.
He didn't really go after them.
Any hard questions? Yeah, like Lynn Cheney and I get Tony Snow has cancer, but I mean, if you can root against the
Reds, he gets that.
Yeah,
you know, who have a dead teammate, you can then ask hard hitting questions to someone that has cancer.
Absolutely, Aaron. You watch The Daily Show.
Love it.
And do you agree with Adam's?
I do actually a little bit.
So yeah.
How do you feel about it coming back now, January 7th? They're starting production again.
I'm excited. Without I can't wait.
I think you have to, otherwise that show's, you know, going to die.
Right. people are forgetting about it.
Exactly.
I don't watch The Daily Show. I probably should. But let me ask this question. Jon Stewart is fairly progressive and liberal in his thoughts. Does he give his interviews to Democrats in a very straightforward, softballish type of way, or does he go after them a little bit?
The thing is, no. Okay, yeah, he's very much softballish to Democrats. I've noticed that lower ranking Republicans, he'll go after them, mm-hmm. like, you know, and he'll be kind of semi hard hitting, you know, more so than what they might face on a real news show.
Sure,
but like the higher ranking ones, nothing. It's just
I think he does it out of deference, just for them showing up. I mean, he's happy to get them. Yeah, so that's part
I'm
of
sure
it.
That
so
they,
you piss them off once, they'll never come back. And right.
And I mean, I'm sure that they get to approve what questions are even asked and stuff like that.
That's what they say. No way. Well, that's too bad. Now I'm never going to watch that show. I'll watch Stephen Colbert and listen to him go crazy.
It's a better show anyway.
Yeah,
I agree.
I think it is.
I think what he does on that show has to be extremely difficult because he's playing a character constantly.
It's 100% shtick all the time.
And yet he's getting real people on there, and a lot of that stuff is off the cuff. You know, it's not scripted, so it's very, very impressive what he does.
There's a good behind the scenes of him and John Kerry talking before the show, and he's like, I'm sorry, I'm going to be a dick. Yeah. You know, like, here's a couple of things I'm going to, you know, like, and just, you know, if you can come up with something good, blah, blah, blah. But, like, you know,
I'm coming after you.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how he can kind of serve his pro-Democratic agenda while playing a Republican.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's really. And I think the Republicans love it. That go on there. I think they enjoy it.
Well, I've actually run into people who didn't realize it was shtick.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's like, somebody asked me, do you think he's serious?
No.
And I looked at him and said, yeah, I think so.
You're not going to shatter that myth. And you said, come on, Mom. Get with it, lady.
I mean, you raised a professor for crying out
loud. I know. I'm a genius, Mom. What happened? Okay, let's move on, folks. This is going to be an exciting category. We'll have a lot to say about it. Best Raping of Earl's Childhood, Part 2.
My.
Last year, we had a very robust category, and everyone knows and loves Earl. We decided to bring it back because a lot more things pissed him off this year. So let's read the list. Number one, G.I. Joe the movie, coming out in a year and a half, but he's already fired up about it.
Hey, my understanding of that is that the script was written in 6 weeks when the group of guys, or maybe the main guy, wanted something like 8 months. Have you heard that?
I have not heard that.
I did read that, too.
Okay. It was like right before the strike.
Well, maybe they'll go back.
And they've also been very contentious. We can talk about this afterwards, I suppose. But.
Nominee number two. Oh, yes. The summer movie blockbuster, Transformers the Movie. Number three, NBC's Bionic Woman. Everyone knows and is aware of Earl's love of anything bionic, especially bionic out of the 70s. So that show really fired him up. Jared?
Yeah.
The winner is... Obviously, it's going to be Transformers. We can't let 2007 go without a little bit more talk about the whole Transformers debacle. Aaron, I don't know if you listen, but for show after show after show, Earl ranted and raved about Transformers. We almost lost friendships over it. We almost got into fist fights over it.
Taxing. He did a series of internet shorts.
I can believe this.
Called Spielbay. You can see them at YouTube. Just search for Spielbay.
Mm-hmm. Where he hammered both Michael Bay and Steven Spielberg over their involvement in the Transformers. The only thing that worked out for Earl in the end is that most people didn't like Transformers the movie. So what was his
major complaint?
Well, he felt vindicated.
Actually, quite a few people did like it.
Yeah, at least
knowing that Earl would respect.
Within our
group,
what didn't he like? That it did not follow the cartoon at all. That they changed basic fundamental character personality traits. Megatron, the main guy, wasn't a gun. He was this vagina-looking thing. Vagina head, which I kind of agree with, as I think about it, looked like female genitalia for a robot head. Boy, there were just many things that he didn't like. But mostly the fact that he felt that the film creators did not respect the actual source material.
That's his battle cry this year.
That is his battle cry.
So are we retiring this story now?
Well... Until Transformers 2 comes out. But yeah, we don't really talk about it too much.
Yeah, the DVD release kind of came and went without really any fanfare from us.
Yeah, so. You never bought that, did you, Jared?
Never did.
It might be worth buying just for the riff tracks. But otherwise, probably not.
The one thing that Earl did not include in his anger, his rants this year, was the movie Underdog, which everyone knows, who knows Earl, he has a tattoo of Underdog. He is a gigantic fan of Underdog, and
he had an Underdog costume, I believe, for Halloween,
and he gave Underdog a huge pass. There was no critical analysis of this, and I was very surprised, considering I never saw the movie, but the trailers and the television commercials made it look nothing like the cartoon. I mean, absolutely nothing. It was Jason Lee with a live action dog, let's be honest.
Was he a big Alvin and the Chipmunks fan as a child too? Maybe
I was, and I just don't have any desire to see the film. Yeah. So
I've heard it's not as bad as you're gonna think.
I don't even care.
Yeah. So that's the thing. You just don't care. You know, if it bugs you,
your life. This is way off track, but it's like it doesn't make any sense. Like, kids don't like Alvin the Chipmunks anymore. So,
and my fandom extended to the point where I listened to the records as a kid, and that was pretty much it. The cartoon hit, and I was.
I don't think you listened to normal records, and you just played them on 45 instead of 33.
Is it a Christmas movie or just out at Christmas?
Uh oh. Somebody didn't turn off their cell phone, ruining the show.
What isn't a Christmas movie?
I'm just saying.
I don't know if it is.
It could have more staying power if they would have made it a Christmas movie and people rewatch Christmas movies just to rewatch.
I still watch Santa Claus every year.
I haven't heard. You know, the thing about Alvin and the Chipmunks, though, is that anyone who's younger than us probably has very little experience.
Right. So, I mean, like, who's it marketed towards?
Yeah. I mean,
the parents of kids?
Must be. Like, the parents will take them and then.
Yeah, but look at Transformers. I don't want to bring that
up. It's an action movie.
But Transformers has been around pretty much since 1984 in the stores. There's always been Transformers in the stores, just different versions of them. So, but yeah, I see what you're getting at, Al. Well, continuing the Transformers bent, we've got another category. This is the last mention of Transformers for 2007. I'm very excited about that. Worst moment in the movie version of Transformers. And I've got three. Do you have any additional things you want to talk about
here?
Okay. And for the record, Adam was one of the biggest haters of Transformers the movie, so it'll be fun. I've got three things.
Yep.
Optimus Prime destroying the flowers and hiding outside of the main character's house at night. We've got Frenzy the Robot cussing. And then we've got the racial jazz, the one Transformers that seemed to be the black character doing breakdancing and... jive talking and all that stuff. Anything else you want to add to the mix?
I was just going to add who is basically the human version of Jazz. The embodiment of Jazz was when Bernie Mac's name showed up on the, right. in the opening credits.
Bernie Mac being in the movie.
So suburban white kids like Jazz the most? Is that the thing?
Yes, they must.
Okay. I don't think anyone liked Jazz the most, though.
So let's pick a winner. We're not picking a winner. They're all terrible. I'm sorry, Jared. I'm not going to pick one over the other.
To be fair, the backyard scene, the flower stomping, is probably the worst thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
In a movie in my life. Like, it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing to watch.
I think they should have cut that out of the
movie. It's worse
than... Have you gone to twogirlsonecup.com?
I have. And that has more redeeming value because you can at least keep telling people to go look at it. The scene in Swingers where Jon Favreau leaves like seven messages in a row is easier for me to watch because like that's like the most uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. The Transformers.
That's saying something.
Half of the stuff in the British office easier to watch than this.
Right. Wow,
Aaron, you're a huge Transformers fan, aren't you?
No.
Favorite movie? Favorite scene in the Transformers movie?
Didn't see it. It's probably the Megan Fox scene.
I know wow. About that one. No, yeah. That's always a good
she
one.
She was pretty hot, but I have to say there was another scene we haven't talked about in that movie where she's making out with Shia LaBeouf on top of the Transformer yeah, car.
Pretty hard to believe.
While he's adjusting, the car is adjusting the radio
it's like
for
a
them,
threesome, then, isn't it?
Yeah, it was very, very odd and creepy. And
Bumblebee is a huge voyeur, so.
Yeah, well, he got it all there, and then some. Yeah, I don't know what the sequel to this movie is going to bring, but I have a hunch that it will be a lot of strife for some people in their
the
lives.
The downfall of society, that's what it's going to bring.
Yeah. But, you know, the final word on this is it is interesting that, as Jared pointed out, many people who maybe aren't as big a fans of Transformers or weren't growing up like this movie. I mean, it seemed
it was
strike,
a mindless action film.
It seemed
film
to strike
just
a chord with a lot of people out there.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Is it just special idiots. Effects, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, it was just a brainless
even
summer.
Weren't that great though. Remember, like we were yelling. Well,
I you was were yelling.
Yeah, the it was just shaky cam kind of the entire time. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to Clover. The best thing about it was watching the first Cloverfield trailer.
There we go.
Ah, yes.
Let's keep moving on. Biggest technology related annoyance. So these are things that happen in the world of technology that might have got your goat. Category number one. Dell fudging financials to look more profitable than it was. What's actually a pretty big deal in the financial world. Naughty, naughty Dell.
Never even heard of that one, but all right.
Well, in my career, right. Thank you very much.
We don't all work at Dow Jones.
Did you make a graphic for it?
I did. The issues of Vista, Microsoft's new operating system, and how it ruined a lot of computers, or seemingly did. And finally, the iPhone and AT&T. So you're locked into AT&T if you get the iPhone. And maybe not the best program that you'd want to be on. Winner of this one. Adam, do you have anything, by the way, you need to add or not?
I was just going to complain about Comcast.
Okay, you can do that for this. We're selecting Vista just because it affects the most amount of people. I don't use Vista. I never will use Vista, but a guy like...
You will use Vista at some point.
Professor Clapp, you use Vista. What say you,
actually,
sir?
Actually, our department hasn't adopted it officially, so no, we don't.
Will you ever adopt it?
We're going to have to.
Because
that's what
everybody
that's
does.
That's what they support at
that's
some
what
point.
Everybody does,
so. I'm actually downgrading to XP at some point in the next couple weeks when I get a free weekend.
Why not go down to Windows 2000?
I have to finagle.
That was the hip thing to do when XP came out, was to go back to Windows 2000.
I'm actually going back to Dr. DOS. So wow. Let's see how that works.
I'm a big Windows ME fan.
OS 2 Warp.
You're the one.
Wow. The computer nerds come out. The iPhone thing was kind of an interesting situation this year. Not only did you have the whole AT&T contract thing, but you also had the price dropping and then the outrage of people who adopted early. Was it justified, Adam?
No. You pay a premium for adopting early. Also, there's lots of phones that are exclusive to one
carrier.
Yeah,
exactly.
So I don't understand.
It's not like they weren't upfront about that right in the beginning.
No. You know. Yeah.
I think the price change was a little bit shady, but, you know, what can you do?
It is what it is.
It was severe.
They gave people, I mean...
Yeah, they stepped up.
They have to give people...
I mean, it was
bucks,
really quick. It was like, boom, it's much cheaper.
Take it.
Yeah.
Would you ever get an iPhone, Aaron?
Sure.
In your day, you were a big Mac fan.
Yeah, I'd get an iPhone. Kind of integrates everything together.
It absolutely does. And what about you, Al?
If money was an object, I would.
There we go. I feel the same way. Comcast... Why are they bad?
They're not. Well, they're
they are
bad.
They screwed me over for 6 months in my service.
My internet connection just can't seem to hold when I need it to, like in the middle of World of Warcraft. So
very important.
Wow.
Just
you're back to playing that, are you?
Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, you know, you're not working. What else are you going to do?
Very nice. And Comcast, because they're not making enough money, just raised all their rates for 2008.
They do have, they are finally, after 2.5 years after announcing the deal, starting to roll out their TiVos, their DVRs with TiVo software on it.
Yeah.
Like actually developed by TiVo.
Will we ever see it in the state of Minnesota?
I would imagine it at some point they would want to.
And then they will charge us for it because they're...
Yeah, it'll be a few bucks extra.
Can't wait. Next category. This is a big one. This is a big trend for 2007.
Big categories?
Best musical
best
reunion.
Best category.
Oh. Best category.
Ah.
So a number of bands out of the blue reunited, and it felt so good. Let's talk about that. Our nominees are Van Halen, The Police, Led Zeppelin, Genesis, and the biggest band of them all, Smashing Pumpkins.
Spice Girls.
Not putting the Spice Girls on there. We have more...
Yeah,
more self-respect. I'm just going to let Jared pick this winner. Jared?
What did I pick? Led Zeppelin?
You picked Led Zeppelin.
I did.
Why Led Zeppelin?
Because that's the band that's just been, you know... I mean, they were a huge deal back in the day, and then they were been kind of rumored to reunite over the last couple of decades, and then they finally decided, hey, we're going to do one show. And it was only one show. They didn't go on tour or anything.
I think they still might. I think they probably will.
I don't know. For me, it was a big deal. I was never a big Police fan. I guess Smashing Pumpkins, you know, their album wasn't that great. We got a lot of material out of them.
And it really wasn't the Smashing Pumpkins.
No.
The thing to note on this list is of all of these reunited bands, we'll include the Spice Girls, there were only three bands that reunited with their entire lineup. The Police, Spice Girls, and Genesis as well went out with the original lineup. Every other band either had a replacement or just toured with less because they're dead. So there you go.
I still pick the Pixies from 2 years ago.
Very nice. Al, you're the musical expert.
Well, it has to be Led Zeppelin.
Has to be Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, write it down.
I'm going to circle it.
Yeah.
Making a note. Well,
some of us aren't 40, winner. You know, guys.
Yeah, but just in the whole sequence of music, they were the biggest and they were gone the longest, so it has to be the biggest comeback.
Yeah, see, exactly.
And Aaron, you being the biggest Genesis fan in the room, are you depressed that Phil Collins and company did not get more credit in this category?
I didn't even know they were reunited.
I wasn't even aware they got back together.
Yeah, see?
So.
Did you make that up? Because I wasn't aware.
No, they're definitely together. I pulled it from a list of...
I didn't know that they actually broke up. Thought there might have been on hiatus or something.
Aaron and I are a little bit biased because we did go see the Police in concert.
Yes, we did.
And we're both big Police fans.
What was the Genesis band before when it was Peter Gabriel? Or was that Genesis?
It was Genesis. Oh, yeah. It just was Peter Gabriel fronting. They were a little more prog rock at that time.
Oh, yeah.
I think the fact that you guys got to go actually see the Police and you couldn't have seen Led Zeppelin play makes them the bigger reunion. I mean,
I could agree with that.
They have a big lottery for that.
Yeah.
I guess the rumor is now maybe they're going to play the big festivals and that's about it. Probably play Bonnaroo or something like that. But it's going to be, what I've heard, 5 or 6 shows.
That's it.
In the States.
Will they do another album?
I don't know yet.
Get your sources. I mean, you are the musical expert here. Call your friends at Spin and Blender. Find out.
Wow. Paste. Why bother?
Why bother? Final category before we move on to our musical review. Biggest We're So Over It pop culture moment. So these are all the things that...
Would that be the Scope 2000 year in review?
Yes, we're totally over it. These are... things that happened over the past 365 days that may have been big for a while, but we're tired of hearing about it. Let's go through the list. Our nominees are Larry Craig, bitching about The Sopranos, Imus, and bitching about Lost. Both television programs. And our winner is... we're selecting Imus as the guy we could not care less about. Aaron... what do you think?
About Imus?
Yes. That werewolf-looking character.
I'm surprised he's back on the air so quickly. Frankly.
Do you think what he said was overblown? I just think that...
No, not really.
You think that he caught the grief that he should have and maybe...
I think he's been saying kind of crazy stuff for a long time.
That's the thing that I'm wondering. I mean, I think he's probably said worse. Yeah. He said worse than that. So why jump on this? Or is it just an opportune time to take him out?
I think it's an accumulation effect.
And then he gets what he deserves. Have you listened to Imus? Because I've listened to him maybe once or twice, but
no,
I couldn't care less about the guy.
Jared, let's hear your Imus impression. It's good.
I don't do one.
There you go.
It's right there a little bit. Imus really has never had a place in Minnesota radio ever. So if you're going to listen to
him. How about the Grease Man? The Grease Man ever?
Never been here. Imus was on MSNBC, so you could watch him on television, which, boy, I mean, that looker. I mean, who?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want to do that? But never. I don't think he was ever on the radio here for any amount of time. Most of the time, any nationally syndicated radio guy never did very well here in the Twin Cities. So
I know more about Imus from listening to Howard Stern than anything else. So.
That's about it. The other moments, Larry Craig. We all agree he's gay and a mess and should just face facts. Correct, Adam?
Sure.
Sopranos. I like the end.
Haven't seen it.
Don't care.
Getting to
say.
It though. Watching it via Netflix. So.
And I think Lost had a good season, so suck it.
Especially at the finale. By the way, I picked Brokeback Mountain jokes. So can we...
there you go. That's a good one.
You were over Brokeback.
Wasn't that last year's?
I just got over it now, though.
Oh, okay.
I was using them up until, like, last week. Still.
Ouch.
They carry well. No? All right.
Fine. Aaron, did you see the finale of The Sopranos?
I'm still in like season two.
Okay.
So
we'll just get with it.
Just stop at three. I think that's okay for everyone to do.
I've heard that.
How far are you, Earl?
I'm four episodes into season six, part two.
Oh, okay. Wow.
I thought season six was great.
I just got past the episode where Junior got a beat down in his little whatever rest home he's in.
Very nice. He deserved it. So that is the overall scope review of 2007. But we've got a little bit more coming from our musical expert, Al. Al's got categories. His picks for best music of the year. I'm looking at his list. There's a lot of things there. Al, why don't you kick it off with your first category and let's talk.
Well, guys, feel free to chime in, obviously. First category, album that grew on you. So if you had an album this year that maybe did not like right away and eventually kind of stuck. My choice this year is Because of the Times by Kings of Leon. And overall, this is a band that has kind of grown on me. I've kind of found them in the overrated department. And I don't know, I just really like this one this year.
So, better than their previous album?
Yeah, I think so. I suppose we don't have Kings of Leon fans since
I like
no
them.
One's
all right. Well,
talking
I like the
right
first
now.
Album. I'm aware of them. How about that?
I think they're all right. Unique lead singer voice. So I think you have to accept that. It's kind of an REM type of thing.
I think for me, and I don't think it was released this year, but it would be Hello Goodbye. That album, whatever it was called, like Dinosaurs, Zombies or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Didn't we kill that one?
Yeah, we hammered it.
We handed it, but you know what? And it comes up on my iPod a lot, and I don't know, I'm kind of liking it now.
For me, it was the newest of Montreal album, which I didn't like at first for whatever reason.
The one that Gary said we have to like?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Professor, you listen to a lot of albums.
I tried not to like it and then did.
For me, it was the Radiohead album in Rainbows. Yeah.
And how much did you pay for that album?
$0.
And that's a good segue.
Yes.
For our next category. It is called Album That You Forgot to Listen To, and my choice was In Rainbows by Radiohead.
I would have to agree with that.
I haven't listened to it.
You know, it's free, or it could possibly be free, and the fact that I haven't taken the advantage of downloading it and listening to it is kind of a sad state
it's part of my life. It's part of the problem is because it kind of exists outside your normal distribution process. You know how you would normally get it, whether it's iTunes or buying a CD or whatever.
Yeah.
It's kind of an exception. You don't necessarily think about it. That's what it is for me.
But for me, I download other music all the time. So the fact that an artist like Radiohead that I have enjoyed in the past and just haven't
loved them.
Yep. You know, and last year's choice was, for me, was Beck, The Information, and I enjoyed that album, so I'll probably be enjoying Radiohead's album in 2008.
Aaron, give us a preview for Radiohead. Where does the sound of this album fall? Is it earlier Radiohead, or is it a little more esoteric, like some of their later outings?
It's a little bit toward the later stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to really give you an overview of the whole thing.
I found it less
any
like
radio-friendly stuff that you can play?
Not really.
No?
I think there's a couple. Though, like, I don't like Kid A or Hail to the Thief.
See, I like both of those.
Okay.
Battle Royale.
So like Amnesiac or in that realm?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Okay. Closer.
Well, keep it rolling now. What's next?
Overrated. And last year we went for overrated album. I'm just going overrated as a song this year. And my pick would be Icky Thump by the White Stripes. I've enjoyed that album probably more than you guys did when you reviewed it, but that song, it rubs me. I can't believe that's the single. I can't believe that's what they chose to title their album after that. It's unlistenable to me.
I agree with you on the song, and I would also claim the entire album is overrated. But
that album popping up on many best of
lists
this year.
I found that a little crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't like it at all.
I've gone back and listened to it since we reviewed it, and I still can't get it.
Has anyone heard the commercial now that has the original version of Conquest?
Yep.
Which was, I think, probably one of your least favorite chains with the mariachi.
No, I like that song.
Remake. You liked that
one?
Okay. But either way, it's funny now that they make a commercial with the original once.
Yeah.
You know, a band with the White Stripes credit puts it out there. They're probably kind of in the, in my opinion, similar to Radiohead. I'm not into the newer Radiohead stuff, and it's probably because they've been so successful, people are just going to throw an A or an A minus next to their name, regardless of what they put up.
That's true.
All right.
Next.
Well, let's... Oh, actually, I overskipped one. Artists you wish would go away, and last year's choice was Soccer Mom Music, and accepting for Soccer Mom Music was The Fray last year. This year, we're kind of doing a 180. Artists I wish would go away, and accepting for the cock rock genre would be Buck Cherry.
That's right. They kind of came back, didn't they?
Yeah.
Ugh.
I just...
Who else would you put in the cock rock category? Not the actual band Cock Rock from the Burger King commercials.
Well,
I just
you know, music can be fast and aggressive without being this macho, you know, I'm gonna F you all night kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
I saw them play at an Edge Fest that I went to, or X Fest or whatever, and I just was really bored.
Do you put Andrew WK in that group?
There's another band I never liked.
Yeah, I probably can't name enough of these bands because I don't. I just
you avoid it.
I hear it and it's like no, bye. But I, you know, and I'll get some heat for this. I do
That's
a
okay.
little
we don't,
more.
We don't have an audience.
I'll do a little more of my, you know, my bar hopping and drinking with my friends who live in Wisconsin. So when I go to a bar in Wisconsin, you're getting your fill of, you know, Buck Cherry and I don't know the PODs.
Wisconsinites love their cock rock.
Yeah. They do.
So it's just seems really unintelligent. Not that I'm need my music to be super smart either, but
oh, you do though.
You're very pretentious. We can tell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
He only listens to music written by physicists. Yeah.
So yeah, from Soccer Moms to Cock Rock this year.
Very nice.
Best song. Okay, guys, get the jokes running. First off, I thought there was probably seven. Very good songs this year.
Well, tell us
only
what you
seven.
Think.
My favorite song this year is, and I'll get some for this, is Australia by The Shins. And I guess we have a music clip of this.
We do.
Possibly. We can. I could probably talk over it.
Here we go.
And last year I picked Phantom Limb by The Shins, which was a single released in December before the new album came out. And... I don't know. I really like it.
Do you only listen to one album a year? Is that the problem?
Basically.
This is ridiculous.
I really wanted to pick a few other songs over this, but you look back at my iTunes playback number, and I listen to this song all the time. So that's what I'm going to go with.
This would be my favorite Shin song off of the album. Wouldn't be my favorite album or song of the year, but you're the musical expert, not me.
I wanted to clear that up. I'm not a musical expert.
You are a musical expert.
From what we talk about on this show, this is the only thing I know about.
You also know about rolling dice for baseball games.
Yes, I do know that.
It says on the website you're a musical expert.
It does.
I don't know
how you're
going to refute
that.
I want some conviction from Al. I want to stand up for
Al and puff out that
damn the consequences.
It's the best song this year.
There you go.
Hands down.
Mine, actually. So on your, we actually have Al's list of his top 40. His third one is Keep the Car Running by Arcade Fire, and that would have been mine. That one or The Underdog. By Spoon.
Arcade Fire is one of those bands that I saw them first on Saturday Night Live and was really, really annoyed with their live performance. I couldn't stand the pretentiousness of it. So it's kept me from actually trying to listen to their album. So, but I have it in my possession, and I have to get around to listening
to it. For even being so pretentious, you went out and bought that album. I'm so impressed.
I did not buy it.
Oh.
I
my review copy.
Honestly, I think four of the songs on their new album, and I find the rest of the tracks unlistenable, and I don't know why, but there's something about them. I think it's because they're pretentious, and it makes me mad.
Coming from a pretentious fellow, it's kind of an interesting
dichotomy,
isn't it?
We don't like our own, so.
Aaron, do you have a favorite song of the year? You're very quiet over there. You're thinking hard about all of the Neil Young songs on your iPod.
I like the Decemberists, the Crane Wife. That was a good album. So really anything from that was pretty good.
He does. He likes the Decemberists.
Yeah,
I know my favorite song.
The Shins album is pretty good. Wincing the Night Away is pretty good. It takes a while to get used to it, but I like that whole album.
Interesting.
All right. Well, let's segue into Best Album of the Year. Shane and I kind of discussed this before the show started. It was not a year of... that album that just really stood out, or, you know, damn it, this is the best album, or, you know, these guys are blowing up right now because of this album. So, and for me personally, a lot of the artists I enjoy released albums this year, and none of them really put put out what I call their definitive album. We just talked about the Shins, a few great singles, but you know, maybe not complete, or maybe just takes a few more listens through. Travis, Modest Mouse, Spoon, Wilco, Arc Monkeys, Ryan Adams. My note here is he needs to take drugs again. His last album was good, but not great. So few runners up too. Just albums I really enjoyed. Armchair Apocalypse by Andrew Bird. I enjoyed Amy Winehouse's Back to Black and Bright Eyes Casadega. But my album of the year, which only, I guess, has four good tracks on it, is Neon Bible by the Arcade Fire.
I really like those four yeah. songs.
Oh. We'll listen.
I thought there was going to be a talk over. Sounds a bit like a Springsteen song.
No, it's Eddie and the Cruisers.
Eddie and yeah. the Cruisers. That's a good one.
That Springsteen thing's a good point, because Springsteen seems to be the big influence of the past probably year or 2 years. I know the Killers, last year their Sam's Town album was highly credited to, you know, being Springsteen fans album. And yep. stuff like that. And I believe Springsteen played this last track live with Arcade Fire on their concert when Arcade Fire opened for them. I get the pretentious thing with them, and
it doesn't really keep me from liking them, but
yeah. And I don't know, I don't think their music or what they're talking about or singing about sounds, they're not preachy, but you just, the sound sounds like they think they're important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think all the love from Pitchfork influences me negatively. But that's just me.
Yeah. So yes, that's basically wraps it up. Sorry, I didn't have anything.
I have a couple.
Too interesting since Arcade Fire was number two, I think, on everyone's year in review list.
So I had three that I can't decide on. LCD Sound Systems.
It was decent.
Not their Nike produced whatever that was, 4523. Spoon. Because it's just still the most listenable album that I have heard this year. And The Animal Collective, which I'm pretty sure was this year. It might have been end of last year. I'm pretty sure it was this year. And best band name this year is Holy Fuck.
Very nice. What kind of music do they play, by the
it's,
way?
It's weird
Christian music.
Electronic.
Check,
yeah.
check out The Onion, the AV Club. They got yep. best band names.
Yeah.
And some of them are just fantastic.
The Cornish Gay Men.
Cornish Gay Men. Yep.
I think that's my favorite on the list.
Those fucking unicorns, I think, was one of them. So,
and we're tagging the show as explicit, Jared.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because I think the song I'm going to play has some FUs in it, too.
Oh, very exciting.
Yeah.
So if anybody has anything else to mention, year in review, anything 2007 related you want to cover?
No, I really appreciate you putting Junior Senior on your list, because I don't know anyone else that likes them. But holy shit, that whole album, it's like the most shallow thing I've ever heard in my life, but it's really good.
Adam looking at a list that Al has that none of our listeners will ever see. So there we go, Junior Senior.
Junior Senior. Junior Two senior. Guys from Denmark.
All right.
2007, Scope Year in Review. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with Scope Sounds and all sorts of great stuff right after this.
Once again, it's time for another edition of the Scope Female Genitalia Euphemism of the Day. Today's euphemism is man's ruin. That was the Scope Female Genitalia Euphemism of the Day. Now, back to the show. It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week.
Drop that beat, homie.
Hit it.
Oh yeah, WSCP here. I'm gonna hit the music because I forgot to start it up. Here we go. Oh yeah, I got a little cold, so I'm gonna play up the nasally radio voice here. This is courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network. That's at music.podshow.com. A little artist named Alice Smith with a song called Woodstock. Keep it locked here, right here on the scope. WSCP, 32 degrees, wind coming out of the northeast. Here we go.
I woke up in NYC with a bunch of anxiety. The rent's due in a couple of weeks. Your head is really fucked up dreaming. I just let it slip away. Think about all the bills I gotta pay. I think I hocked my Trinity. Bite back on a better day. Spent 10 days in Woodstock taking it easy. So would you please excuse me? Cause I'm feeling quite sad. I'm happy again because I spent 10 days in Woodstock taking it easy. Feeling mellow like a cello. Go ahead and part the seas and sing out two bitches for me. Wow, man, what a sunny day. I can't wait to get out and play. Walk down those city streets, laughing at all those city creeps. And I got a lot to organize, got a lot of thinking to do. Another day that's gonna be out, another day that's I will be blue. Spend 10 days in Woodstock taking it easy. So would you please excuse me? Cause I'm feeling quite sad.
It's the scope.
Under the scope.
We are back with Under the Scope, doing two of three parts today. Let's start it off with the news.
We can give each news story a scope score if you want to do reviews.
That might be kind of fun.
Yeah, all right. So first one, we alluded to it earlier. By the way, everything, this is just in no real order or consistency today.
Great prep.
So,
great
always
prep.
With the disclaimer.
Five Falcons fined for wearing Michael Vick tributes. Roddy White and four other Atlanta Falcons were fined by the NFL for violating uniform regulations with tributes to Michael Vick during last week's Monday night game.
It's fun to beat up on the Falcons right now, isn't it?
It is. They were each fined $10,000 for wearing free Michael Vick t-shirts or words, I guess, painted in their eyeliner. It's not actually eyeliner because they play football.
We get it. We get it.
And it's like, on one hand, it's lame that the NFL is going to fine people for doing things like this. But on the other hand, I can't believe how you can't separate yourself from a story to understand that there's a reason why he was sentenced to nearly 2 years in jail.
Yeah,
and
he killed dogs.
Right. It's like, it's justified.
It's a federal, crime.
Oh, yeah.
A felony.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Multiple.
Yeah. I don't get it. It's not like there was like some sort of unjust sentencing or anything.
He probably got off lighter than he should.
Probably.
They're just sticking up for their pal.
I guess. It's just... No.
Yeah, but at some point, don't you say, hey, dude,
what if
he was
molesting children? Would that be okay?
I'm kidding. No.
You heard it here first. Al is okay.
Al is pro dog beating.
No. Between that and their coach, that might be the sorriest sports organization of
the year. They're worse than the Dolphins.
Yeah, I agree.
So
they're going nowhere fast.
No. And... just think that could be any team, because what team would not have wanted Michael Vick? Like, if the Falcons like had cut him,
San Diego
before
didn't.
San Diego.
Okay,
well, they got
here we go.
But they got LaDainian Tomlinson
right.
For
yeah.
him, okay. Which they're glad they made.
They
that
got
move.
LaDainian Tomlinson and
Drew Brees, which turned into more picks.
Yeah,
the score is. One quarter star.
Okay, well,
we'll
get away from sports. We'll get away from sports. Sacha Baron Cohen, also known as Ali G and Borat, blah blah blah. He's dropping both his Borat and Ali G characters, putting them to rest.
Wow, the crowds are rioting.
Still, supposedly has Bruno, because his next movie is supposedly going to be Bruno.
He can't do Borat or
no,
because
he's too
well
known.
It's like the Tom Green phenomenon when Tom Green was popular. He pushed it so far, everybody knew who he was, and that was that.
He could probably do Ali G still if he wanted to.
Maybe
not,
if he goes to some
Borat.
Like sub-Saharan Africa or something.
No, I don't think most people know what or who Ali G is in the U.S.
Yeah, you could be
in
right.
In these U.S.?
Maybe.
That was my Miss South. Miss South.
Yes, USNA and the Iraqs.
That's
a half a
says,
star right there.
When I was being Ali G in Borat, I can't do a British accent, otherwise I totally would hear.
Give it to Aaron. He can
I
do
was
a great
in
British
character,
accent.
Sometimes 14 hours a day, and I came to love them. So, admitting I am never going to play them again is quite a sad thing. He's just too busy banging what's her name.
He'll do them. He'll think, play them in the bedroom. That's where he's going.
Yeah.
I will find you.
she is hot, by the way.
The like, Wedding Crasher redhead?
Yes.
Yeah.
A little sizzle.
Yeah.
Right there.
Next up, can we get a score?
Sure.
The Scope score is 2.5 stars.
Climbing
up.
All right.
I got a half star for my funny comments, so.
Next one, San Francisco's mayor has proposed a fee on sales of sugary soft drinks.
Ooh.
In a move he says is necessary to trim the city's waistline, the decidedly slim mayor of San Francisco, Gavin Newsom, has proposed charging big stores a fee when they sell sugary sweet sodas. I guess not diet sodas. The proposal, which was reported by the San Francisco Chronicle on Monday, would put a yet-to-be-defined surcharge on all drinks with high fructose corn syrup. Says a spokesman for the American Beverage Association, it makes no sense to single out every one of... to single out any one single cause of obesity, which is a complex problem. The spokesperson went on to say that if Newsom really wanted to fight the fat, he would take on computer and video games.
Oh, that's fighting words
because,
right there.
Because he says that they're lured inside when they should be outside burning calories. So it's video games' fault, not soda.
I gotcha.
And just in case anyone's worried, a spokesperson for the mayor... finished the announcement by saying the mayor has no intention of imposing a fee on pizza. So if there was a worry about that, we're fine.
Let's talk to Al for a second.
Score is 3.25 stars.
I think that was based solely on the pizza comment.
I was just going to say maybe they should fine kids for riding the bus to school and there you go. Not walking
to school. Al.
Both ways.
Al, you work in the educational system as a FIAD teacher, not a gym teacher, because
you don't teach the building. Yep.
Are kids fatter?
They're puffier.
Puffier.
They are.
Are they retaining water?
There's
is that the deal? Too much salt in their diet?
There's kids who aren't, they're not even fat, but they're puffy. Like,
are they like marshmallows?
Yeah. I mean, it's not
it's like they got a whole another layer of skin
like
around
just
them.
Just wider or anything, but they're just puffier.
It's not good.
Is it disturbing to you, this trend, seeing this trend happening?
I guess.
And what about the lack of... time for kids to have physical education in schools?
Not enough. This is a long story.
He doesn't even want to get into it.
No.
Wow.
It'd be a rant. I'm not prepared for a rant.
Okay. Well, it could really add some spice to the show. Adam, go ahead.
It's been pretty boring otherwise. So then I have like really just five really quick short stories. So late night shows are returning without scripts on January 2nd. The Daily Show and Colbert are back January 7th.
How are they going to do those shows without a script?
Well, they did. Carson did it during the whatever 86 strike.
Yeah, but it was mostly just interviews.
Yeah, that's what they'll do. They'll do just interviews.
Will that work for the Daily Show though? And stuff?
Yeah.
Will they do interviews?
Yeah, I guess.
Or will they just kind of improv?
I mean, Jon Stewart can do whatever. I think
they're not. They won't be as good, obviously.
Right, right. And well, I think that at some point, like, people are really mixed about this because they're like, oh, these, you know, they're, well, you know, they're not being scabs. All these people write their own write for their shows too.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what one thing that a lot of people are missing is that they also can go on and be the voice for the writers, you know?
Yes.
And especially Conan, who's always self-deprecating anyway, who's going to be like, show sucks, no writers, you know, and I think bring it to more people's attention.
Doesn't a lot of it have to do with the crews?
Yeah, right. I think it all has to do with the crews. Okay. Yeah.
They're getting to the point where they have to cut loose or they can't, you know, a lot of these, the big hosts, the talk show hosts have been footing the bill for their crews. You know, and that can be pretty expensive. So at some point, you got to get back.
The
to
writers
work.
For Letterman will be going back, though. He Worldwide Pants
struck a deal
with the Writers Guild on their own. That's David Letterman's own company. Which in old strikes, networks forbid their their shows that had other production companies from doing that. But I guess this time, I think it's CBS hoping to leech more of an audience from Leno, because then maybe by the end, when everything's settled, they'll have a bigger audience. Because it's been like 11 years or something since Letterman's had a bigger audience than Leno.
That's a whole rant in itself.
Yeah, right.
Why America loves Jay Leno.
I don't get it. Jaywalking, it's hilarious.
Why do they like cock rock? The genre.
Jay Leno with Buck Cherry. What a combination.
Wow. Buck Cherry's on every night.
It would score higher than anything on Letterman.
Probably. He puts on Arcade Fire a bomb.
Yeah.
Next up, the Dark Knight trailer. Did you guys see the new real trailer?
Not the 6 minutes.
The first 6 minutes of the film that was, you know, at the IMAX, and I did see it on YouTube.
Ah, I haven't seen that one yet.
To me, it looked like Point Break 2. It was a big bank robbery with masks. So.
Wow, already coming down hard on the new Batman.
It's the first 6 minutes of the film. What are you going to get out of it, really?
What did you think of, what's his name's performance?
Heath Ledger as the Joker. I'm glad you asked me. I felt that it was a good portrayal of the Joker, and it makes me excited to see the movie.
Oh, good.
Are you in favor of spudgy makeup Joker?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have a problem with it. As everyone knows, my longstanding problem with Batman begins.
Everyone knows
that I didn't like that the Batmobile was driving on top of buildings.
So that was my complaint.
And I thought that was stupid. And I think it took a lot of points off of it. So they better not have any Batmobiles on buildings. And I don't like how it looks like a tank either.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. I hope that they get back to him being a master.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Detective kind
a
of
master detective.
Part of the plot, you know, because that's like, I mean, he doesn't CSI. Have any superpowers. He has gadgets and he's a detective. That's basically what he does.
He is in Detective Comics, I believe.
Aaron, you're the harshest critic of everything. Did you like Batman Begins?
I did, actually. I liked it a lot.
What about cars driving on buildings?
Didn't like that at all.
Yeah. I thought the whole ending part of Batman Begins, along with the, you know, the train with the bomb in it or whatever, I thought that whole thing was stupid.
I think
that
they
was
had
trite.
The weakest possible villains,
and
it still made the movie was still good. So I think that has good signs, considering this one will be
the strongest villain.
Right. Well,
and no
villains,
Katie Holmes,
I guess. Because Two-Face is going to make some sort of entrance.
Well, thanks for spoiling it. Turn off his mic.
Have you seen who's in the movie?
No. Billy Dee Williams from the original Two-Face?
Billy Dee!
No, what's his name? Aaron Eckhart.
Oh, yes,
he's playing,
that's right.
What's his name? And,
Harvey Dent, he's playing.
Okay, Harvey Dent is in it. I guess maybe
Al checking his watch. He's sick of being here. It's actually a pretty short show so far, Al.
Jamie Lynn's pregnant. Mom loses the book deal, so we already talked about that enough, I guess. Peter Jackson signed on to produce 2 Hobbit movies.
Now, who's excited about this?
Nerds, but even
I'm
they're
excited.
Not. Well, okay, but here's the problem. The Hobbit's 1 book.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really have... Okay, so I admittedly, this is just from what I've gleaned from the internet, because I've never read The Hobbit.
You ever gleaned the cube?
I have gleaned the cube a couple times on my Nash skateboard. So there's no real part in the middle, a lot of people think, for it to be broken up to make two movies out of. I mean, you know, he knows the material, so I guess he would be able to help that along. He's not directing it or anything.
He says he's not directing it.
Right.
Is this just smack of a money grab by Peter Jackson?
I think he has
New
enough
Line
money.
Cinema?
I yes. don't... Well, he's yes, got enough money, there. And this was all about settling the lawsuit. You know, with New Line to begin with.
Or is it much like New Line wanting to just smack his name on it so people are excited for
sure it? Sure, that has something to do with it.
Is it better that The Hobbit taking place in this world that Peter Jackson created on film, essentially, is it better that he's at least involved?
Well, he needs to be involved, and it just that's just automatically gives it credibility.
Sure.
And will satisfy the nerds out there. I still feel like he probably should direct them. They should wait till he can do them. That's what I think.
After the three Tintin movies?
Whatever he ends up doing, yeah. I think that would probably be the smartest move to make, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's about getting it out there and getting that money to come in. But what are they going to do after The Hobbit?
There's just less... Okay, like, I don't know. A lot of people really like the Lord of the Ring movies just for other things than I did, I guess. But the action in them was just, you know, really good and done on, like, a really grand scale.
Mm-hmm.
There's one big battle in The Hobbit that I know of. Otherwise, it's kind of... boring. And
it's
there's
not
a lot
as
of
grand
singing.
Of a tune. It's not as grand of a story.
Yeah. So I don't know how you do that. But anyway.
Yeah, I almost wish you could go back in time and make that one first.
Probably. But then if that one's not as good, maybe then it doesn't turn into a big thing. Lastly.
Yeah.
I don't know how much you guys follow video games that never come out and that were announced in 1997. But
I have a website devoted to it.
Duke Nukem Forever. A new trailer for it. Hit the web. This is a game that was announced in 1997, and it's still not come out.
Why do people like Duke Nukem so much?
I don't get it. Because he talks about his dick a lot, and everyone that plays video games is...
You think people would listen to the show more if that were the case?
What?
I think people would listen to this show more if that were the case, because we've been very fascinated with our genitalia.
So here's the thing. The trailer looks really bad. Like, it looks like it was made using, like, 3D Studio Max, you know, like, stuff that, like, we could all...
Sure.
Play with
easily make yes
right like it doesn't look good like I don't understand why you release something like this if you know to drum up buzz or whatever for it. It's like it's a joke within the industry because of how you know long it's been coming or not coming.
Do they say when it's coming out?
No.
Maybe they're just doing it for fun.
They've always said it's done when it's done. Wow. And it's never been done.
It's going to be a
there's
terrible
an awesome website that lists all the things that have happened in the world: entertainment, politics, medical advances since the game was announced.
Oh, okay. And
and it's ridiculously long and funny.
And it will probably continue to grow because this game will... my guess it'll never come out.
I don't see why it would
never
come out.
Wow.
Yeah. So there you go.
So there you go. That's news. Can we give that final story a score, Jared?
Can we? For sure.
The Scoop score is...
4 stars.
1/2 star.
Oh. You really phoned it in at the end. So guess what, everybody?
Huh.
It's time to check out what's coming soon.
Oh.
Adam, you've got a list of things there. Tell us what's on it.
All right. Music. This coming Tuesday, that's December 26th.
Ooh.
Nothing of Note.
Bye.
Actually, not. Oh. That's Wednesday, isn't it? Because Tuesday is Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's Wednesday the 26th.
Wednesday. That's why. That's why they're skipping it, because no one buys stuff the day after Christmas. They return stuff.
They buy other
stuff. To buy Arcade Fire.
December 31st, Radiohead, the CD release of that comes out. I thought it was January. It comes out.
I thought it was in January, too.
Okay. You're just wrong. Way to go.
Off of Metacritic, guys. I don't know what to tell you.
And David Banner, The Greatest Story Ever Told.
Okay.
Great. So a lot of good stuff.
A lot of good
this
stuff.
This is when they release all their good things.
You spend your holiday dollars on
this. Is when our coming soon segment is 3 minutes long.
The Talkies, December 25th. This is really I guess because my people go to the movies on Christmas. I forgot about that.
My people. And don't they go to
I've been known to do it too.
Chinese restaurants as well.
Yeah.
What a combination.
So here's what they have to pick from while they're eating Chinese.
And being hated by most of the people in the world.
Right.
Okay.
Alien versus Predator, Requiem.
Yep. Earl wants to see that one.
Okay.
I couldn't imagine
All I know is that the last two words of the mini review or summary you have here says Battlefield Earth.
Oh.
Which is weird. Aliens square off against Predators once again on Battlefield Earth. The Great Debaters, Denzel Washington's movie.
The Oprah Winfrey produced movie.
Waterhorse, The Legend of the Deep. Bigfoot, Loch Ness.
It's a Loch Ness monster type of thing.
Oh, the kids movie.
Yep.
Right? Okay. I've seen trailers for that.
Yay.
Yeah.
Very excited.
That's it. Okay.
I think Juno opens in wide release that day as well.
Thank you.
And January 4th. January is the big month for shit movies, right? That's when the studios kind of dump
oftentimes
them.
They will dump movies.
So that's what's got me worried a little bit about Cloverfield, but I don't know.
I think they're going to buck the trend on that. All right. I think that's the idea.
One Missed Call, starring Edward Burns and some other people.
And what's that about?
A detective investigating the mysterious calls received by a college student learns she's one of many people who received such communications. Ones that reveal the date and time and details of their deaths.
Ooh, spooky.
I bet it's
Sounds like a winner.
Yeah. I bet it hasn't been being held by the studio for like 2 years.
Yeah, it's an 8-year-old movie.
At the right time. DVD on the 26th, American Pie, Beta House, Battlestar Galactica 1980, the complete series. That's what they're calling the old series now, 1980?
No,
it was called Galactica 1980.
Oh, they're the spinoff or whatever that was.
It was like the sequel to the original.
But they're really... all the entertainment industry is coming together and putting out their best foot forward, aren't they?
The Brother Solomon, The Heartbreak Kid, and The Kingdom. The well-reviewed, but no one saw The Kingdom.
Mm-hmm. I want to see it.
Yeah, me too. January 1st, Resident Evil Extinction.
I want to see that too.
Sequest DSV Season 2. I totally watched that show when it was on TV.
Is that the one with the dolphin?
Yeah.
With,
is that with the guy from...
Ladybugs?
No.
Jonathan
Jaws?
Brandis.
Yeah, Jonathan Brandis, yeah.
Roy Schneider was
before Jonathan Brandis killed himself, he was on that show.
There we go.
God, I forgot about that.
September Dawn.
Back to our theme of death.
The Tudors, Season 1. I don't know what The Tudors is.
It's a popular British program.
And Weird Science, Seasons 1 and 2. I assume that's the... there was only one Weird Science show, I guess. With Vanessa Angel.
Exactly.
Never the same without Anthony Michael Hall.
Video games, December 23rd, the 29th. Monster Trucks Off-Road. Hey, look, Wii games. Great.
Oh, yeah.
And classic British motor racing for the Wii.
That sounds like... It's like dishwashing with the Wii. Who cares?
I don't know why I'm here, guys. I
like Adele's washing dishes.
Holiday dinner feast.
Get the squeegee.
House chores.
I don't know if you've played...
Holiday feast with Wii. You get to carve the turkey.
The Wario?
Vacuuming the Berber.
What's the Wario game?
Smooth Moves.
Smooth Moves.
That one has dishwashing and plucking. Oh. So there you go.
Swat the fly.
That one is a lot of fun, though.
Rake the leaves with the Wii.
If you don't have a wife to nag you, just buy the game on the Wii.
Wife nagging with the Wii.
And then that's it, because there's no more video games the following week. Nice. Or nothing big.
Very exciting.
Not really.
What?
Not as exciting as the show's been.
Will you be completing your Battlestar Galactica collection, Aaron?
To start it first, I think.
Ouch.
I've got a hunch that Jared might buy that.
Yeah.
I got him.
Are you guys doing anything?
Here's the thing,
Christmas?
I remember watching it as a kid, and I'm torn. How much is it going to be? Any idea?
Probably 30 to 35.
See, that might be too much.
Oh, you don't say, huh? 3 to 5 might be too much.
Galactica 1980 was not a good show.
I remember watching that like a couple episodes as a kid. It was terrible, and I was 6 at the time. So
I was,
so if I know it's bad at 6... And
the only reason to get it is for the episode where they explain what happened to Starbuck. But they concluded that on the regular Battlestar Galactica set. So, you know, what's the point? I was born
before that premiered. What do you think about that? Assuming it premiered in September of 1980.
Boy, rubbing it in.
Is anyone expecting any good gifts for Christmas? Or, well, Hanukkah's past.
Just the time I spend with my friends and family.
All right.
Well, I don't think they have any Wiis in the store, so I'm probably not getting one.
Pretty sure.
Can we save this for the D-Block?
Oh.
That's fine. You know, you want to wrap up the show now? Let's play the end song and
go home. Let's go to the D-Block. Let's go to the end of the show. That was Under the Scope. Now it's time for Jared to shine.
Under the Scope.
We're talking about video games.
Mucus-filled Jared, take it away.
Yeah, baby. Woo!
Take it away.
We're going to wait for the music to duck, okay? You're supposed to talk it up a little bit more.
To duck!
We got a couple comments that came in off the board. This is from episode 41.
I can't believe that.
We're going to skip all the comments from the World Series of Pop Culture because it was mostly just quibbling over answers and saying how we got it wrong or something like
that. Yeah, Shane.
So, Bishop from Renerd.com says, "Dudes, I cannot tell you how amused I was at your responses. He has sent us a list of zombie questions and we answered them on the air. Now that's one hell of a discussion. I had no idea it would spark such a debate."
It really did.
Yeah. Apparently the debate's over because we're not going to say anything else about it.
I don't remember anything that we said.
Fast versus slow zombies, favorite zombie movie, so on and so forth.
Okay.
And Gary writes in and says, "Solid show, guys. What the bleep am I talking about was hysterical."
It was.
"As was the CSI review. Those darn phagocytes. P.S. I really do like the beard, Adam. And now the beard is gone. So, Gary, there's nothing left to love on Adam."
No. Except that bitter exterior.
Yeah.
with a sarcastic centered nugget.
I have all this hair on top. There's a lot of that, so.
Let me can glue some on your face and get a little Gary look. PBS, I really want to be back on the scope. Gary wants to come back on the show. How do you feel about that?
He was for the game.
Yeah, and he failed.
But I think he wants to be on in a normal, and this was pre-game, but I think he wants to be on a normal, you know, a participatory role. You know, he wants to be able to comment on stuff.
He can sign up some reviews. He can sign up for Music Expert 2008.
Yeah, wow. Al's bowing out.
That's all I have for comments.
Hey, Aaron.
Yeah.
Name the X-Files spinoff show that only lasted a few episodes.
What the hell do I know? I don't know this stuff.
What about Wino?
That would be The Lone Gunman.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's one of our trivia questions that we debated over.
I never watched the X-Files.
If you'd like to write a love letter to
still think he'd do
Professor Aaron,
that,
just let Adam talk over you. That's all right.
we're going down in flames.
Comments@thescopeshow.com. That's it. Go to the website. Comment. Back to you, Shane.
Back to me. What were you going to say now, Adam?
I was going to say, do you still think Aaron would be good next year?
I don't know. I guess it depends on the answer. If it was REM questions, he'd nail them. I know that for sure.
Thank you.
No physics questions, I can tell you that much. Okay. No Pythagorean theorem.
Really?
None. Not a one. So programming notes, in 1 week.
Programming notes.
In 1 week, we will be doing our Scope New Year's Eve Special Spectacular.
Right on.
I don't know what it's going to... Actually, I know exactly what it's going to entail.
Are you
going
to tell me about it? Because I'm sure I got to do some work.
Yeah, you and I have a lot of work to do. It's going to be musically related, Al. And it's going to be exciting. And then after that, we're going to go back on our regular two-week schedule. So you won't have a full Scope show for 2 weeks after that. So just take note and be ready for it.
Yeah.
And do we have any plugs? Anything? Any guys you think you want to promote? Anyone? Aaron? What classes are you teaching that people might want to sign up for in Iowa?
Chemical Engineering 310 Numerical Methods.
Oh.
So,
is it, can they get in for this spring semester, or are we...
There's still some spots available.
TAing positions?
That's covered. So.
That's good.
Yeah.
Do you have your favorite TA that you'd like to give a shout out to?
I'd like to thank Diane Brown for a lot of good work in Chemi 210 this year.
Nice. We'll give her a little of this.
And if you're...
Oh. Wrong button.
That's the wrong one we're laughing at. Laughing at her. Is there another button you could push? There we go. Al, any appearances you need to be talking about?
I'll just plug this one more time. WhatWhatAlma.com. WTWTALMA.com. Buddy's made a movie. They got the official trailer out, and they're sending it to film festivals.
Are we supposed to have them on the show at some point?
That could happen.
Or is this far too lowbrow for them?
No, it could happen.
Low. Okay, well, I'm excited about that. And Adam, any Jewish things you need to talk about before we go?
No, not that I know of. Yes, actually, there is. I'm trying to convince Mandy's family. I'm trying to convince Mandy's family. Well, it's anti-Jewish, I guess, to make
self-hating
chocolate chip cookies with bacon on top.
Wow!
I saw it on a website, and it's supposed to be good. So I need help for how to convince them to make this, because I got turned down so far.
Well, at this point, I think we can send that out to our Scope listeners. If you need to,
I'll be there already. So you'll need to call me.
Okay, so call Adam. We'll put his home number right on the website.
Put bacon. On the cookie, I'm guessing.
You have to pre-cook the bacon. Is that how that works?
Yeah.
Okay,
pre-cook the bacon, put it right on. Crunchy.
Should I leave it a little soft so that it crisps?
I don't
up
know.
On top? Well, you said on the interweb. What's the deal?
It's like got a maple cinnamon glaze on top of the cookie,
oh
and
my.
That works well with the bacon.
This it's starting to sound like a McGriddle with chocolate chips.
I know, isn't that good?
That sounds disgusting.
No. You have chocolate chip pancakes. People eat those.
Next
they
time,
do.
Next time I come on,
they don't
on,
spread
I'll
spam on it at the same time.
Next time I come on, I'll bring
it. I don't know. It's a mix of sweet and savory. It could be good.
I'll find a way.
Okay, I will do it.
Nice.
So this has been episode 42 of The Scope. I want to thank Adam, Jared, Al, and Aaron for being here. We'll be back in 1 week with a drunken fest next time.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing 206-350-7056. Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying ahoy hoy. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.